A newly ordained priest was contacted by the local funeral director to hold a graveside service in a small country cemetery. Because the deceased had no friends or family left, there was to be no funeral, just the committal graveside service. The priest started to the cemetery early enough, but soon lost his way, causing him to arrive 30 minutes late. There was no hearse or funeral director in sight, just the workmen who were sitting under the tree eating lunch. Moving to the newly dug grave, the minister opened his prayer book and read the service over the vault that was in place. When returning to his car, the priest overheard one of the workmen say, "Maybe we better tell him that that was a septic tank." So humiliations can make a person humble, right? So whenever you're humiliated, use it as a chance to grow in humility. And that's what the readings are about today. Look at that first reading, that powerful book of Sirach that gives so many wise proverbs about doing everything with humility. Humble yourself, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. That means receive graces and blessings from God. And then the gospel, Jesus tells the crowd about when next time they go to a wedding banquet, the strategy of being honored at a wedding banquet and not to be humiliated at a wedding banquet. The Lord gives very practical advice. He says, when you're invited to a wedding reception, don't go up to the head table and sit at the head table. You know, in other words, sit at the lower table, because if you sat at the high table and somebody, like a relative or somebody of importance came, you'll be asked to move to the back, and that will be very embarrassing. So Jesus says, if you try to exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. But if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. So he says, well, take the lowest place. And then when the host comes in, he'll say, my friend, come up higher. And then it says, and everyone, you'll grow in the esteem of others. So the Lord gives very practical advice on these things. So what is the virtue of humility? Humility is a very misunderstood word. Humility is truth. Now, humility is seeing ourselves as we are before God. Humility is not saying, I'm no good. It's not self-loathing. That's false humility. Humility is truth, that we are children of God, sons and daughters of God, and any good thing that's in us is a gift from God, that God gave it to us as a gift. That a humble person recognizes the gifts that the Lord has given you and makes use of them. It doesn't hide your gifts under the bushel basket, as Scripture says. Don't put your light under a basket, but humility is truth. I love the quote from C.S. Lewis. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. Isn't that good? Think about that. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. C.S. Lewis, in one of his books, does talk about when you meet a humble person, they're not even thinking about themselves. They're totally interested in you, and they don't even reflect upon themselves. They're so outer focused of thinking of God and others. Thomas Merton once wrote that pride is artificial, but humility is real. Again, pride is artificial, humility is real. The word humility comes from the Latin root. We get the word humus from that. If you've ever worked with the soil in a garden, you know what humus is: good, rich, deep soil. So the word humility means the earth originally, the ground. It means the soil through which all the other virtues grow. Faith, hope, charity, patience, generosity, all grow in the soil of humility. And humility really is a God-like quality. It is a divine quality because God is so humble. God doesn't even reveal himself to us. We don't look out in the sky and see God. God is so humble, he keeps himself hidden. Just enough that we can search for him and find him, but not enough that he forces himself upon us. So God respects our free will and our desire to try to search and look for him. Again, humility is such a God-like thing. Scripture says that Christ emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of man. That word emptying in Greek is kenosis. It's an emptying of his power, of his glory. When God became a little baby, he emptied himself of glory to become one of us. As Scripture says, a man like us in all things but sin. Think of the humility of Christ being born in a cave, not a castle, born in a cave dug out of the side of a cliff, born in a stable where animals were stationed, placed in a manger. A manger is an eating trough where they would place the corn or the wheat for the animals to eat. Imagine being the God of the universe placed in a feed box for the animals, for the oxes and the other animals that would eat out of it. And think of the humility of the cross. The cross was used for condemned criminals, and yet the God of the universe was nailed to a cross to look like just a condemned criminal, placed in a tomb that was owned by another person, by Joseph of Arimathea. Remember, Jesus said, "Learn from me," Jesus says, "for I am meek and humble of heart." So if you want to see humility, look at Jesus. When you look at the cross, you see humility hanging on the cross. Think of the Lord's scourging at the pillar, his the crowning with thorns, how he was beaten and mocked and spit upon. Again, this is God himself, the Son of God, being spit upon, being slapped and being blindfolded and turned around and hit over the head with a rod and having the thorns go into his skull. So that is humility. So we should always imitate the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. And think of Mary's humility. When she was asked to be the mother of God, what did she say? "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord." The word handmaid means I am the slave. I am the servant of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. So our Blessed Mother, such a great role model and example for humility. Who did not have humility? Lucifer, Adam. Think of those who rebelled against God. Lucifer, the angel of light, considered one of the Lord's greatest, one of God's greatest creations. What did he say? "I will not serve." So he had pride, hubris, arrogance, and he would, in his haughtiness, he would not serve God. He felt he was so great. And because of that, he fell. And, of course, hell was created for Lucifer and the fallen angels. Scripture says that the dragon swept a third of the stars from the sky. The tradition is that about a third of the angels fell and rebelled against God and became demons in hell. Who else had pride? Adam. Adam resisted God. God told him he could eat of any of the trees in the garden. But it says Adam wanted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He wanted to become his own God, to create laws for himself, to make his own rules. And Adam was filled with pride, and Adam and Eve sinned. And the original sin came into this world. But God so loved us that he sent the new Adam, Jesus Christ, his Son, who humbled himself. Notice the first Adam had pride, the new Adam, Jesus, humility. It says he humbled himself and became one of us. The new Eve, Mary, also the humble handmaid of the Lord. So that's what today's readings are all about, this beautiful virtue of humility. It's a virtue of our truthfulness, who we are truly in the eyes of God. We're his creations, we're not the creator. And humility is that attitude of mind, heart, and soul that makes a person pleasing to God. Scripture says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives his favor to the humble. Always think about that. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so a humble person is willing to say they're sorry when they do wrong. They go to confession. A humble person goes to confession. Proud people don't go to confession. It takes humility to go to confession. But humility is the medicine, the antidote for pride and for sin. A humble person submits themselves totally to the will of God and has great reverence and respect for God, for His holy name, for Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So that's all the fruit of humility is this humble acknowledgement that God is God, we are His creatures, and a humble person is willing to admit that they're wrong, they go to confession, they receive God's forgiveness, and it says again, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble.